You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yes, let's start with the facts, Joy. The facts that, what's up with that stuffed animal dog back there? And then you got a dog on it. Come on, man. I mean, I know you like dogs, but I mean, just why ain't a real dog there? I mean, I don't know. The room is actually very nice, though. Like a very beachy room. The gray and the yellow is very, very calming and nice. But another picture of a dog. Okay, well, we get it, dude. You like dogs. I don't know why. Maybe there's not a real one there. I know I'm gonna get in trouble for that one.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, December 18th, and this is our fifth and final part of our NBA season preview podcast. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, we got Tass Mellis.
Dogs.
What's up, dog? We got the Bassmaster ripping them lips, Trey Kirby.
Ew.
Hey, yo. The International, Man of Mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Last but not least, making the magic happen is JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are on a Friday. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Make sure you go grab yourself some sweet No Dunks merchandise at nodunks.com. We got hoodies. We got t-shirts. We got a Good Morning Sweet World mug that's a banger. We got to look into making dog pillows. We'll have to talk to Breaking Tea about that. Or maybe a Lee Ellis pillow. Would you like to embrace that? Yeah, cuddle up with that? Sure, why not? And if you're looking for a holiday present, holla at the Athletic BOGO offer. That's a buy one, gift one, get an annual subscription to the Athletic for yourself. Smart. And then give an annual subscription for free to somebody else, especially over the holidays here. A perfect gift. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. For that awesome deal. All right, time for our final batch of burning questions. The first one, Tass. Surprise playoff team. You can go either conference. Who's going to shock the world and sneak in there into the playoffs? Not the play-in tournament, as we've clarified, but what do you got?
I'm going with the Charlotte Hornets. I'm doing it, baby. Yeah. We're going to Buzz City. Going to have some fun. Yeah, we're going to Buzz City. I believe... that this team is going to surprise people. And I think that's kind of important from the get-go. This is a 72-game season. You don't have long camps. So some teams are going to come out a little bit lethargic, just not right. And I think the Hornets are already looking good, spreading out the floor. I think they're going to get out on the break. Even though Gordon Hayward is a little bit injured right now, they still have ball handlers and Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham, who had a really sort of under-the-radar good season for a lot of the league. They'll be fine. They're going to get on the break with LaMelo Ball as well. They've got guys who can throw down when they get on that break. And the Martin twins, Caleb and Cody, as well as Miles Bridges. And I think PJ Washington kind of unlocks this style. If you've watched any of their preseason play, PJ Washington can play the five as a three-ball shooter. He can play the four. Bismack Biyombo will get in there and throw some elbows around. But I'm just buying... the way they're playing, and I think they really are sort of moving on from that Nikola Batum balloon contract era where things weren't working all that well. They've got this new vibe with LaMelo Ball going in. They're going to be fun, and they obviously look good in those Buzz City jerseys. They look fantastic. They're going to score some buckets. I think they're going to be a team that's going to be hard to... to just play with at the beginning of games. So they'll sort of run out or slow down by the end of the season when teams figure them out. But I think they're going to surprise some teams. And Just like LaMelo Ball surprising people, he can shoot the ball, Skeets. You see him banging home those threes?
I did see that, yeah.
Bang, 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 bang.
He did, yeah. He hit, what, 4, I think, in his last preseason game there. Yeah, and he sure is a highlight reel. I mean, that guy loves to throw an oop. I'll give him that. It's fun. And Bridges,
and
man,
good
that
passes,
guy can finish.
Too.
Yeah. Are you concerned at all about the Gordon Hayward injury? Like, in order for this to happen, does Hayward have to be playing, in your opinion? Or could they do this without him?
No, they need him. They need him. But even if he misses games... Again, there's ball handlers back there. They paid Terry Rozier because he's pretty solid, Devontae Graham and LaMelo Ball. They have enough ball handlers on the floor. And with the way they play, where things aren't clogged in the lane, you know, even the Martin twins can become ball handlers because there's lots of space. And PJ Washington, who I really believe in as a modern day big, he's not going to play 5 all the time, but as a 4 or 5, I think their ball handling abilities go up another level because it's going to be spread out there. Now, they may get killed on the defensive end at times. Cody Z is going to play some from that old era of the Hornets, the old Zeller. But I believe in the brothers of Martin over the brothers of Zeller. I think they're going to change styles a little bit. I don't know why. I just like saying brothers. Anyway, I found it hard going into the Western Conference for a surprise. I'll throw my Western Conference one out later. But to me, there's so many good teams in the Western Conference that it's almost not a surprise if a lot of those good ones make it. You know, I had to pick one of these Eastern Conference teams that were good, but they also could be very, very bad. I think these other Western Conference teams are, most of them are legit teams, but some just
competent
won't be.
Teams, right.
Some just, unfortunately, will be on the outside looking in because of the playoff format.
Okay, so the Hornets, Buzz City. Lili, we'll go to you next. What's your surprise playoff team?
Yeah, this was a tough question I found as well, because it's who's a team you don't really believe in, but maybe you can make a case for them sneaking into the playoffs.
Right.
And I did go to the Western Conference, and I'm gonna go with the Sacramento Kings. I mean, it's more that they kind of have to, don't they? They kind of have to at least be closer. They made the play-in tournament. Oh, excuse me, not the play-in tournament. They made the bubble down in Orlando. And they've got some good young pieces down there. They got De'Aaron Fox. They gave him the big contract. We know he's a potential star, but he really needs to now take that step up and be an all-star contending type of guard. Like, he needs to be that guy who's like, I'm going out and I'm being the best player on my team. Buddy Hield, we know, is a very good three-point shooter. Whether or not he's there long-term, who knows? But in the short-term, Buddy Hield is actually a kind of modern-day, you know, poor man's Klay Thompson out there. He shoots a three ball pretty well. So they kind of have the offense. Bagley, we know he's got the potential. Again, got to get out there and see it. And Harrison Barnes, like him or hate him, he's actually a consistent sort of performer who just, you can go and get some buckets from him. They're not very deep, but it's kind of like this team has just now, it's been treading on the treadmill of mediocrity for so long. It's kind of like they either have to just take that step up and at least be competing, or you may as well just blow it up and start all over again there in Sacramento. Of course, they're not going to do that with De'Aaron Fox, but some of these other pieces. But also, there's a couple of teams that made the playoffs last season that are likely going to sort of struggle somewhat. Now, the Houston Rockets is a big one, of course. We don't know what the situation is with James Harden. If he's there, they're in the playoffs, no question about it. If he's not, they may still make it anyway with Wall and Cousins. They've got some good pieces. They've recovered okay. But also, the Oklahoma City Thunder was a team that is likely going to sort of struggle to get back into the playoffs. I think they're not a bad team, but I just think they're not as good as they were last season. And then furthermore, you got teams, you know, like the Memphis Grizzlies and like the Phoenix Suns. I think we all expect the Suns to be a playoff team and certainly an improvement from where they were last season. But until we see that out on the court, I think the Kings are sort of in that same mix with a couple of those teams that are like, you know, this is a chance for the Kings. Surely you got to get, you know, 8th spot is their goal. And I think it's an attainable goal for them if everything breaks right for them. So, you know, I'm definitely trying to talk myself into it. But I look at this roster and I'm just like, okay, something happened, please, with this team. Because it's about time. And again, I think, like I say, De'Aaron Fox is a very good player. And Buddy is a good modern player. So they've got the pieces there. But it's Sacramento, so who the hell really ever knows?
Yeah, I might be asking like an impossible question. You're right here, Tass. Like, it's a tough one because, let's be honest, I feel like, I don't know, like 3 teams would maybe be a surprise, a true surprise if they made the playoffs. The Knicks, right? Maybe the Cavs and maybe the Thunder. But and I think some people are even maybe higher on the Thunder than I am, even though they obviously are moving on from a lot of their guys. That's it. Like, and then I feel like trade 27 other teams. It's like, yeah, I guess they'd be a surprise because they weren't maybe in the playoffs last year. But would it really be a surprise Like, Lee went through a lot. Like, if the Grizzlies made it, or the Suns made it, or the Hawks made it. Like, not really, right?
This is the question I get on my in my head the most about, for that very reason, Skeets, because, you know, for us, if we're looking at it, we're thinking about basketball 24-7. You go to sleep waking, you go to sleep and you wake up thinking about Bogdan Bogdanovic. But if I'm talking to my dad, if I'm talking to my coach, Steve, and I say, hey, man, the Hawks are making the playoffs this year. They added Bogdan Bogdanovic and Danilo Gallinari. He'll say, whoo! So it would be a surprise for somebody right. who's perhaps a little bit more casual fan. But like you're saying, it seems there are going to be three pretty bad teams this year. So I'm ruling them out. They would no doubt be a surprise. If the Knicks make the playoffs, a huge surprise. Same with the Thunder. And who'd you say, the Cavs? I think those are all big surprises. Yeah. The Pistons as well. But I don't think that's a realistic one. Then you've got the teams who did make the bubble, who did make the playoffs last year. And you've got the wild cards, the play-in tournament teams. So I'm a little bit with Lee here. There are two teams, I think, that had so much playoff buzz last year and then disappointed so hard that they have zero buzz this year. It's the Kings in the Western Conference, and it's in the Bulls in the Eastern Conference. So that's why those would be a surprise to me, because those are the teams that seemed like the surprise playoff teams last year. It didn't go that way for either of them. They both had supremely disappointing seasons to the point where nobody's going to be putting them in the mix this year. I was very pleased to see that Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr. actually showed up on a Zach Lowe list earlier this week.
That
is the most buzz the Bulls have had during the preseason. It would be a super surprise to me if those two teams are competitive enough that they're actually making it into the postseason.
Yeah, we haven't talked a ton about the Bulls. How are you feeling about their chances here in 2020-21? What do you think as a Bulls fan?
I don't know. You know,
that's not good.
Well, they have no buzz, man. I'm like, they're bringing back basically the same team that they had last season. Kobe White is going to be in charge of the ball a whole bunch more. He can certainly score the ball, but he seems to be, to me, like, his future is going to be as a great sixth man. Maybe he is the next Lou Williams who just goes out there and get buckets. Same with Zach LaVine. Who's going to be passing the ball? I don't know. I love that Tass is wearing a floral print shirt today, supporting the florist Patrick Williams, which did win the vote on our fan poll yesterday as the official nickname of the Bulls rookie. But I don't know. It seems like the Bulls' biggest moves this year were in the front office and on the bench. In general, I think players win games. They brought back the same players for the most part, but you gotta have a little hope as the Bull if you're a Bulls fan, just because changing the power structure was huge this year. So even if it's not a playoff season, I don't really see a playoff season. I hope they get terrible. I hope we see some classic Bulls injuries. They're not able to stay on the court, and they tank, and they get a real high draft pick, because the Bulls just keep picking seventh. They finally got up to fourth this year and drafted a guy who was a sixth man in college. So we shall see how that plays out. If they end up being terrible, I'm fine with it. You know, we just got a guy who's not punching clocks. I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, how many wins does just changing coaches from Boylan to Billy give you right there? And if they stay healthy, that's been a big problem with the Bulls. All these guys are always, always injured. If they had their full team out there, I think they could, you know, definitely be in the play-in tournament or whatever, at least challenging that. But I got to avoid any Bulls picks here because I got all on board last year. I was on for Boylan Coach of the Year, for crying out loud, thinking they were going to be something, and they were brutal. But I love Kobe White, and Zach LaVine is a fun watch, and they've got talented even forwards there, young guys at that. So my pick for this, I'm probably cheating. I think you guys will get angry. I guess a surprise playoff team just because they didn't make it last year. I'll go the Grizzlies getting in. So I actually am a little higher on the Grizzlies than even like a Suns team or stuff like that, which has a ton of buzz, of course, with Chris Paul coming in there and pairing up with Booker and Ayton. I just love the Grizz. You know my love for Ja Morant. They're very young. Their old guys are Valanciunas and Kyle Anderson, who feel like really old guys, but they're not even like, they're like 28 and 27, so they're not that old. Little worried about, you know, Jackson already being injured. Justin Winslow, he's going to be out for the start of the season. He should be back a little quicker, but I love Ja as a leader, and I think with, you know, I'm a fan of Brooks. I'm a fan of the Melton signing. I like what they're doing there, and again, they're all on the same sort of timeline. I think their goal 100% should be a playoffs, because I mean, they were there when the season was like went on hiatus last year. So would it be that far fetched? Is it really a surprise? Probably not. But I'll go Grizzlies to maybe be a little bit better than some people are thinking, because I'm seeing a lot of lists, guys, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Like, you know, you see the teams or pundits pick their teams. I'm not seeing a lot of Grizzlies usually in the mix for like the top eight in the West. I'm seeing them much lower, actually, and I don't really get it. So
I wonder Memphis. If teams come at them a little bit harder this year because
might
last
be a little
year,
more ready,
you know,
yeah.
Morant was great and Jaren Jackson was very good as well. But they did surprise. I think they got that. It's like no one really expected them to be quite as competitive mm-hmm. as they were. So you expect that everyone's scouting Morant a little bit differently this year and being like, yeah, got to keep your eye on this guy. But outside of him, they don't have that real sort of superstar talent just yet. But they've got some very nice young pieces there, as mm-hmm. you mentioned there, Clark and Jackson and Brooks and some other guys there. So, yeah, I think I think they're in that same sort of position this year. Where yes. they're,
it's scary in the West, though. Yeah. You can get behind real quick, and their second best player by far, there's a big drop-off between their second and third best player.
True.
Jaren Jackson Jr. is their second best player, and he's not right.
I thought he was their first best player, personally. Personally.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, he's amazing. He is yep. amazing. But he's not there, like you're saying, Tess, mm-hmm. to
yeah,
start.
Yeah, and John Morant makes it go, and then who else is going to pick it up? If Jaren Jackson Jr. is not there, I'm a big Justice Winslow fan. He was almost an untouchable last season. At the beginning of last season with the Miami Heat, before everything went right for the Miami Heat and their young guys came around, Justice Winslow was really solid, but he's also injured. He may not be able mm-hmm. to stay on the floor. So who's their second and third guy? Are you relying on Dylan Brooks again? And then I say it's scary in the West because who the heck knows? You can get behind real quick. I think there are a good amount of locks. You know, I was looking at the Suns as my surprise team, but after I look at it...
You think they're a lock?
I think they're, when you look at it compared to the other teams, like the Grizzlies we were just talking about, the Pelicans, the Wolves.
The Kings, yeah.
The Kings. The Suns have two legitimate All-Stars.
Yeah, true.
Current All-Stars. Last year All-Stars mm-hmm. That are going to run the show in a ball handler's league. Chris Paul and Devin Booker should be able to kick ass telling DeAndre Ayton what to do. I mean, Chris Paul's already making a difference in the preseason, telling where guys... they got to go on defense. And I think just that leadership, you know, with real, real talented guys, you know, with them Booker and DeAndre Ayton, and then fill in on the wing with some really good guys and Cameron Johnson and Mikal Bridges and an Oldie and Jay Crowder, they've got a bench. I think after the big bunch, there's a big bunch at the top, your Los Angeles, your two Ds, Denver and Dallas should make it, Utah and Portland, your UP. Then your S completes it all. Your UPS, the Suns are going to be there, I think. But I think they're better than all the rest of those teams. They're, even though people think, well, that's a might have been a facade, that 8-0 run. Chris Paul is Chris Paul. If he's healthy, this team should make it. And then there's not a lot of slots left. And no. I refuse to say the play-in tournament are you know, where those team should be aiming for that play-in tournament. You got to be one of the top eight. But then the scary part is, if you're the Suns and you make it the seventh spot, you still got to go
still
win
not
another
make it.
Game
yeah.
to make the playoffs. So it's kind of dumb. You want to be top six. But I think there's six locks in the West there, and there's a bunch of good teams in the East, and then even the Pacers are probably the seventh best team. So, you know, Trey's mentioned the Wizards as a team. You got Westbrook and Beal, so it's not going to be easy to slip in either conference, I don't think.
No, one team you didn't mention there too, the Spurs. Would the Spurs be a surprise, Lili, if they were to, you know, be top six, I guess, or top seven even?
Technically, yes, because they didn't make the playoffs last year for the first time in 22 years, I think it was. So, yeah, you look at the Spurs and you just know that Greg Popovich has come back. I predicted that we might not see him again after the bubble. I thought he might have just kind of decided to hand over the reins. But you know the Spurs are going to bounce back. They've got some young players. They've still got the veterans there. And they're going to compete. They signed Jakob Poeltl too, to extended his contract. So they obviously see him as a part of this sort of short to midterm future here. Lonnie Walker, he's a talented player. Derek White, very good as well. And that's not even, I mean, you've got DeJounte Murray, DeRozan and Aldridge in their starting lineup there. Yeah. So it's crazy to think that the Spurs are a lock to not make it. I think they'll be back in the mix for sure.
Yeah.
So, that's the thing. And Pelicans, I mean, the Pelicans have got... they made some moves as well. They're immediately trying to get into the playoffs. So there's going to be two or three teams really, really disappointed that they don't make the final eight spots in the Western Conference.
They got to rebrand. They got to rebrand. Seeds 7 through 10, call them the wild card.
Yeah,
just call them
something.
The wild card, and then it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's that easy. Mm.
I agree. I hate saying play-in tournament even. I get it that it is sort of a tournament because of like, well, depending what seed you are, you might only have to win one instead of twice. I get it, but I hate it. It's like, it doesn't really feel like a tournament to me.
Yeah,
you know,
agree.
I mean? Yeah.
Every other sport calls it a wild card. Those last few teams that are barely making the playoffs, every sport calls it a wild card except for the NBA, who calls it a play-in tournament, and then it's barely even a tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if they did that because they kept talking about we might have a tournament mid-season, right? Sure, we might just play for a fake cup or a second cup, whatever. Are they trying to like get us ingrained in us by saying tournament, oh, tournament, tournament? Yeah, and then suddenly we got one in the middle of the season. We're like, oh, another tournament. I think they might be doing that.
That's all right. We'll launch the No Dunks Classic and they can play for a Good Morning Sweet World mug.
Oh, wow. That's a great idea.
12 ounces.
Great idea. Okay, so yeah, those are our surprise teams. Let's hear from you guys, both in the stream team, and you can tweet at us at NoDunksInc. What's your surprise playoff team heading into this season?
Oh, right. Let me interrupt quick. I know you guys like streaks, Lee. You love streaks, teams that made the playoffs. What about teams that haven't made the playoffs? Longest streak without making the playoffs. Who is it?
Kings. Kings.
14 straight seasons. Yeah. Next team?
Suns are there. They're a decade, I think.
Suns are a decade. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, nice, nice. You guys did your homework before preview five. That's what I like to hear.
Who's next, do you think?
I don't know.
Like, who's the Eastern Conference team? That's a good one.
Knicks haven't made the playoffs in a while.
Knicks, yeah.
Yeah.
Knicks have been
Pistons.
2013.
Pistons made it. Yeah.
Pistons, the Pistons snuck
in a
couple
of times. Stanley Johnson versus LeBron, yeah.
Yeah, the Hornets have snuck in, of course. Yeah. I think it's got to be the Knicks.
Seven seasons, right? It was 2013 when they were Carmeloing and Mike Woodsoning out there.
I think that's right. Okay, great. Cool. We were on that one.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Looking at the first half schedule, Lili, we know all the games. So what's a one must-watch game that you've got circled there on your digital calendar that you are really tuning into and why?
Well, you know, the NBA said coming into this season they wanted to try to reduce travel as much as possible due to the coronavirus outbreak here. So they didn't want teams flying around too much or to reduce it as much as they could. Except for night one, game one. Let's get the San Francisco team over to New York to play the Brooklyn Nets because that's the game. Night one, game one. That's the game we all want to watch because it's Kevin Durant going up against the team he won two championships with and turned down a max contract of worth around the same money that Giannis Antetokounmpo just signed for to go and play for the Brooklyn Nets. And the perfect thing about this is the 7 o'clock Eastern start. We are all going to be watching together and overreacting immediately to the first possession of the game, the second possession of the game. If Durant misses a jumper, he's not back. He's going to take a year to get back from his injury. If the Warriors are down early yet, Warriors are not a contender. They're going to struggle to make the playoffs again this year. That's what it's going to be in the very first game of the night, in the first couple of minutes of the game. And then it's going to be like, Kyrie Irving's going to take a shot and Kevin Durant and Kyrie are going to look at each other, exchange glances in the third quarter. It's like, it's already a chemistry shot.
Exactly. Oh,
and that's exactly what we just love about the NBA, that complete focus on one game. You know, this is not a night. There's only two games on opening night. Well, after that, we go to the West Coast and it's the Lakers and the Clippers. And that's what the NBA really, really wants to focus on. All the drama, everyone's eyes, all the conversation around one game. And what better way to do it than the very first game of the season? So Warriors at Nets, game one, night one on Tuesday night. Believe it or not, that's only what, four sleeps away.
Yeah, a couple nights from now, we have real basketball back. Okay, that's a good pick. That's a no-brainer, but I like it. Who do you got?
I really hope the Nets come out here and run a first possession post-up for DeAndre Jordan. Just a throwback to the Doc Rivers era when you're like, what are you doing? You got two great offensive players. Just let them play ball. You got to keep that big man engaged, though. Give him a lefty jump hook. The game for me that I want to see. Lakers at Bucks, January 21st, 2021. Yeah, that's right. 1-21-2021. If you remember, this is the scene of the crime last year. Giannis snatching LeBron's crown, popping it on his own head as the Bucks take down the Lakers. Now they obviously met about a month and a half later. LeBron took the crown back. And as we saw in the bubble, the Lakers won the championship. LeBron is still the king. But now Giannis is signed long-term in Milwaukee. That is going to be a marquee game. It's really the Bucks' first matchup against a Western Conference contender. They've got a game, I think, against the Jazz, perhaps. Not too far ahead of that. They play the Warriors on Christmas Day, obviously. But this is going to be a potential finals matchup, no doubt about it. I don't have a ton of confidence in the Bucks making it to the finals this season. But there's no doubt that LeBron and Giannis and AD are going to be three of the top five players in the league this season. Yeah. It's going to be fun to see them battling it out. We're going to be fun to see if there's any sort of hijinks, if there's any sort of crown heisting again this year, you know? It was fun to see Giannis trash-talking LeBron a little. You don't see that very often in the NBA. Good stuff.
Yeah, if LeBron has a big monster game versus Giannis in that first matchup, I can see a bunch of the Lakers bench guys, you know, Dudley and whoever, like, really, like, going next level with putting the crown on LeBron. They'll probably put a cape on him, they hand him the scepter, like King of the Ring style, you know what I mean? They'll go next level with that. That's a good pick. So that's January 21st, 2021. All right, Lakers Bucks. What do you got, Tass?
Nice. I'm going to stay with the popular day, Christmas Day. But for me, the last game of Christmas Day, 10:30 Eastern, I'm a little basketballed out.
Right.
But I'm pretty pumped to watch Clippers Nuggets. Because the Clippers, in their first game, opening night, they got to watch the Lakers get their ring. The TV producers will be showing Kawhi and Paul George their faces, unless they're hiding in the locker rooms, as the Lakers get their rings. That's going to be great. And then the second game that they have to play, the Clippers will be going up against this Nuggets team that was able to come back from 3-1 against them. So I think the Clippers will be ready to go, but the Nuggets are definitely going to be keeping me awake. Just that passing style of Jokic to my man Jamal Murray to Facundo Campazzo coming off the bench, throwing some serious dimes. I'm sure you guys saw that.
Little backspin, yeah.
Yeah, that lead pass with the spin on it. And the come on, baby. we're going to be awake for that. And Michael Porter Jr., you guys mentioned Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets playing. You know, he is my Kevin Durant light, just and how smooth he is and how big he is. He is a wonder. He really is. He is a unique player, sort of like KD is. And so the Nuggets are always going to be fun to watch this season. And against an angry Clippers team, the schedulers really lined up this Clippers opening schedule to piss them off. So I'm looking forward to that. I will be awake until 1 a.m. Eastern watching that game, and then we're planning on doing a little recap of those games on the Saturday. So look out for that. We'll be talking about those five games. Should be fun.
Yeah, you're right about the Clippers' first week there. I mean, the Clippers can quiet a lot of critics right away, couldn't they? Like, if they came out, beat the Lakers, beat the Nuggets team that knocked them off last year, it'd be a hell of a start for, instill some confidence in them moving forward. But they also could go 0-2 or, you know, and then the sky is falling. So that's a good pick. I'm going to go with the Nuggets actually too, Tass. Sunday, January 17th, 2021. Always love a nice Sunday game because, you know, we usually take the weekends off during the regular season. So if you have a big performance on Sunday, you know we're talking about it on Monday. And we got the Jazz versus the Nuggets. Jamal Murray versus Donovan Mitchell, part 8, right? Two young stars. They had that incredible duel in the opening round of the 2020 playoffs down in the bubble with, you know, the Nuggets coming back from their first 3-1 deficit to beat the Jazz in 7. Mitchell and Murray combined for 475 points in that series. Do you know who they passed, Lee? I think you were the only one alive to catch this series. Do you know who they passed for the most points ever scored by a pair of opponents in a playoff series?
I'm thinking it has to be something Larry Bird and...
No, go way,
Kareem?
Way
older. Kareem?
Nope.
Elgin?
Nope.
But Wilt?
Tiki Vandeweghe and Adrian Dantley.
No, it
George.
Is. George. It's a guy in the news right now. Under investigation. Jerry West. And John Havlicek. Jerry and John in the 69 finals went for 463 combined points. But it doesn't matter. Mitchell and Murray beat them. So I'm excited to see what these guys have for an encore here. And they're two great teams. Again, the Jazz we haven't talked about a ton. We're all high on the Nuggets being one of still the best teams in the Western Conference. So that should be an awesome game. Again, on a Sunday. I love a Sunday. It's a nice 8 o'clock start, too. Oh, perfect. You know we'll be talking about that on the 18th. Can't wait
for
that
football playoff Skeets. Ooh, the Bills might be going deep this season.
I can't believe
no
this.
No doubt.
Yeah, I used to be a Bills fan, but I gave that up a couple of years ago. So I don't really care. I'm happy for people that I know that are still Bills fans, but I can't pretend to be like, I can't be like a fake, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, look at the Bills, 10-3, Super Bowl.
Yeah, you can.
No, I can't. I don't like that.
Hop back in, bro.
I haven't watched a single down of NFL football this year. I've just sort of, the last couple of years, I've totally checked out, if I'm being honest. So, but hey, go Bills. Sure.
But you were a fan before. It's not like you're just bandwagoning.
Oh no, I was a fan. Yeah, when I was a kid. And
yeah, your dad was a big fan.
I've told the story before. What was it? The third or fourth Super Bowl? I did a whole Bills sign. We had it up on the wall, and then, you know, Bills were getting crushed by the Cowboys at halftime. My dad ripped the sign in half, ripped it dead. I was scarred for life.
You gotta make the sign again, man. Yeah.
My dad nice. Yeah, that was the other Super Bowl. My dad he gave up the Bills before I did, a couple years prior to when I like left them. He became a Chiefs fan though, and then they go on to win the Super Bowl. It's incredible. So he did the right move, but now, yeah, the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. It's amazing. So anyway, talking basketball, back to basketball. I'm also excited for the Celtics-Raptors because I just like two teams that are like had good series the year prior. And they had a pretty epic 7-game series, obviously, in the playoff semifinals there down in Orlando. So had a lot of close games in that series. So they play January 4th, if you're keeping track. All right, next question. Awards, back to the awards. Trey, you get us started. Rookie of the Year, who are you going with?
Tass hit on my pick for Rookie of the Year a little bit earlier because I think the Hornets are going to be in the mix for a playoff spot as well, at least for the play-in tournament. My Rookie of the Year, LaMelo Ball. I don't care about the shooting percentages. I care about the vibes. And LaMelo has the best Charlotte vibes since Larry Johnson. He's even bringing back the number two. Like you mentioned, Skeets, it's highlights galore. That's probably the sort of thing that gets taken out of his game as he progresses during his career, but that rookie year, you're going nuts with every single highlight you can pile up. Think about Jason Williams when he was with the Kings with the long floppy hair. He was throwing passes off his elbows. He was doing fake behind the backs. He was doing all this kind of stuff. But eventually, he gets to the Miami Heat, and he's just a solid point guard. You like the fun times. Enjoy the fun times now. LaMelo's going to have the Hornets playing fast. He's got a chance to have the ball even a little bit more here. With Gordon Hayward's injury, I think, the shooting percentage, maybe he shoots 40%. Maybe he shoots 35% for the season, but he'll score some points. He'll probably lead all rookies in assists. He'll be a pretty solid rebounder, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
He'll score every once in a while. I don't know. I'm looking forward to the LaMelo experience. I got him as Rookie of the Year.
I think it's a good pick. I don't think it's that far-fetched, and I am not a LaMelo Ball fan, but I don't think it's that far-fetched. He might flirt with a triple-double averaging because he rebounds great for a guard. He's obviously a big guard, and of course he's going to rack up, I think, double-digit assists or really close. He may not. He may score like it might be the Jason Kidd type of triple-double, but I think that's in play, that he could flirt with that. Seriously think that he could average it almost for the season, like an 11-10-10 type of triple-double, but a triple-double nonetheless, or, you know, maybe a little bit more points than that. But that's a strong pick. Tass, are you going LaMelo Ball as well because you're talking up the Hornets as a surprise playoff team?
Oh, it's fun to talk about LaMelo Ball, no doubt. He will be right there for sure, but I can't pick the same thing that I picked for the first one. Got to keep it fresh. I'm really worried about the New York Knicks finishing dead last in the Eastern Conference. But I'm going to take Obi Toppin because the highlights from either LaMelo Ball or Obi Toppin are going to be top in the rookie rankings, no doubt. I think they'll both be up there. I just I don't want to buy that Obi Toppin's not going to play with Tom Thibodeau. I'm a little scared of that. I'm not going to buy into it quite yet. But hopefully he does. And I think he's going to end up with the ball and he's going to make some plays. The guy's just too talented on the offensive end not to. So I think, yeah, if LaMelo Ball struggles with the shooting percentages, which I could definitely see, I think Obi Toppin will probably get some serious buzz there in New York.
It's a good one. What do you got, Lee? Are you trying to look for rookies that could be starting, right? You know, LaMelo Ball, Obi Toppin possibly. Who knows whether Julius Randle has taken his starting spot. Like, who else is there? Killian Hayes maybe for the Pistons. Is Patrick Williams maybe going to start for the Bulls? Avdija for the Wizards is in the mix. I know, I'm sure there's a couple other guys. I guess James Wiseman isn't probably going to start, is he, at center for the Warriors? But where are you going?
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning there with Obi Toppin as well, simply because I think I could sort of see him, because of the way he plays close to the basket, at maybe averaging 15 or 16 points a game. And we know with a rookie, that can tend to be all it really takes. It doesn't have to be, wins don't really count for this award. It's just which sort of rookie is out there performing every night. So I can see him maybe averaging like 16 and 8 and shooting a good percentage, because he'll get so many of his baskets just from dunks and alley-oops and things like that on a bad team. Yes, Tom Thibodeau as a rookie, that's the one question there.
Yeah.
So how much time he will get. But when he's on the floor, I can just sort of see him putting up numbers, really, like just putting up those offensive numbers and sort of standing out from that point. I agree with LaMelo Ball that I think he can be the guy who maybe does contribute the most in those other categories. And even if the shooting isn't that bad, he can still average double digits a game. So he should be the favorite. But for me, it's one of those two guys, simply, again, because Toppin is going to get the opportunity to score on a bad team. A lot of these other rookies, like Wiseman on the Warriors, I just don't really see him having enough of an impact on that team to do it. Anthony Edwards, who really knows out there in Minnesota? I mean, he could. I mean, he's the number one pick, so expect him to start. Expect him to play some big minutes and get some shots. But how good is he? No one really knows. Killian Hayes as well in Detroit. I mean, there's just so many questions on these guys on these teams. So I'm just going
with Okoro with the Cavs too as a possibility.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And again, that's a bad team, so a good opportunity for a rookie. And that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're a bad team for this award.
No, it's all about the stats when you're a rookie. So I think the guy who's most likely to put up, you know, pretty decent numbers, I think, from a scoring point, is probably Obi Toppin for me.
Okay. I'll officially go LaMelo Ball. That'll be my pick. I like his chances. Any other dark horse guys that you're looking down sort of the draft that you could talk yourself into? Cole Anthony, I think maybe in Orlando, have given an opportunity. Trey, you're nodding your head. Maybe you agree with that one?
I'm looking forward to seeing Cole Anthony play for the Magic at the very least. I'll put him on my second team all rookie if I were doing some deep predictions. But my favorite question comes from Sam Unono on the stream team, who says, Bowl. You talk about stats disappearing into the ghost realm. He didn't play until the bubble, but as the league told us before the bubble even started, those don't count. Bowl, despite playing 7 games for the Nuggets, eligible for Rookie of the Year. It's like when David Justice got brought up to the Atlanta Braves in September. Didn't play enough, eligible for Rookie of the Year next year. Weird stuff,
but those stats did count though, didn't they? I know they. I know. No, I'm just saying.
But did they?
But I mean, they weren't. They weren't, like, voters weren't supposed to take those into account when voting for awards. But I believe those stats actually did count. I know he's right. He is eligible because they've said he is eligible.
Wow, ball.
He's going to be fun to watch. He was already hitting nice shots there. Him and Facundo out on the floor is just beautiful to watch. Such a great combination.
All right. Anyone else, Tess?
Well, it is wild when you talk about guys who are going to start or not. If you look at the top 10 of picks from the draft, Anthony Edwards probably starts for the Wolves. James Wiseman, no. LaMelo Ball, unlikely, actually. He'll probably be backing up Terry Rozier and Devontae Graham. Patrick Williams, question mark. Isaac Okoro, question mark. Onyeka Okongwu, no way. Killian Hayes, probably not.
Killian Hayes. You don't think so? You don't think Casey will give him the
chance? Yeah. I don't know. Obi Toppin, Danny Avdija, doubt it. They're just top 10 picks. It's hard. Yeah, just pick the guy who starts. But I think LaMelo Ball is a good pick just because he's going to play starters minutes, especially because they play small in Charlotte. They're gonna get on the run. He is going to have the buzz of Buzz City for sure throughout the league in the highlights. But Obi Toppin will be right there with him, I think.
I hope we get some good Killian Hayes highlights, though, or at least a massive Killian Hayes week, because I guarantee Tassel hit us with, boy, you be Killian, you be Killian. Lock it in.
No doubt.
All right. Next award here. I guess our final award, if I've been keeping track correctly. Defensive Player of the Year. Let's talk defense. I know Trey doesn't want to, but let's talk a little defense.
I got to go. Sorry, guys. Something came up. They need help with the leaf blowing outside.
Oh, okay. Well, Lele, you get us started then. Who do you have pegged to win DPOY?
You know, I picked Anthony Davis to win MVP. Yep. This season. I'm going to double down. I'm going to say Anthony Davis is going to win Defensive Player of the Year as well, because the Lakers defense was great last year. He finished second, so he's right there anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you guys kind of pushed back on me making the claim for Anthony Davis for MVP, and I've thought about it. I thought, yeah, it is probably going to be a little bit tough, but this could almost be the award that the voters give him instead of MVP. It's sure. Like, you know what? You know what? You're a brilliant defender. Your team is going to have a top three defense, I believe. And he's going to get so much credit. He's a great shot blocker anyway. He's a great intimidator. He's a great defender. So I think all those sort of factors are going to combine to put him in contention. So I'm going to pick him for that. Giannis obviously won it last year. He won it in the end quite convincingly, and he's going to be in contention again there. But again, I think Giannis has to do a little bit more to convince voters this year. So I'm going with Anthony Davis. I really wanted to pick Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons is an incredible defender. But
are you worried he's going to be traded?
No. Well, yes. Yeah, Daryl Morey said explicitly last night that he's not being traded, which means he is being traded.
That's right.
But the thing is with Ben Simmons, I think he led the league in steals in the end last season. But he doesn't get the sort of shot block stats. He doesn't get other recognition. If you don't watch Ben Simmons, you don't maybe appreciate just how good a defender he is. I think he's an incredible defender, but I think it's
Davis's. Much more difficult for a wing guard player.
Always. So, but I think it's Davis's award this year.
Oh yeah. Okay. I like that. I mean, with this award, they're usually a year late, as we've talked about before, right? So, what you just saw from Anthony Davis, especially in the bubble, where he looked by far the best defensive player in the league, in my opinion. Yeah, it's like just a year behind. He's made 4 All Defensive Teams in his career, and of course, he's never won this award. So that's a strong pick there, Lele. I see a lot of people taking AD. Tass, is there another big, or is there a wing like Simmons that you think could, maybe snatch this from a potential Anthony Davis win?
Well, the good thing for Anthony Davis is, yes, everybody talking about him, but also his teammate. I think LeBron James will say, hey, this guy's got to win Defensive Player of the Year. I think LeBron's done trying to win Defensive Player of the Year himself. He'll say, Anthony Davis, you should do it. And he's got the biggest voice in the league that will help. But as far as MVP goes, that's mine. You know, you go take that Defensive Player of the Year. I'll take the real one that I want. I'll try and get the real one I want. So AD is a good one. I totally agree that the voters tend to be a bit late. So that's why I kind of like Bam Adebayo an under the radar. He was, on the voters list. He was 5th last year, but a distant 5th. And then he went to the bubble and he blocked Jason Tatum in game 1 of that second round, which was third round, the Eastern Conference Finals, where his wrist was in the rim there. So that's burned into people's memories. And I think the Heat will make a pretty good jump in terms of their defensive ranking, because they weren't amazing last year throughout the season. They were 13th. And the bubble chemistry, I think, will bubble over to this season. And then the Heat will jump up, and Bam will probably get some credit for that. The guy's diving on the floor in the preseason. He's bringing it. The thing I worry about with AD, he may take the vibe of LeBron James in a championship year. You know, like after LeBron wins, he likes to chill a little bit. And especially with such a short window. So AD will take on the vibe of LeBron, although he is an incredible defensive player. If they have a little drop-off like the Cavs did in 17 there, that happens. It happens with LeBron teams. Then, maybe AD doesn't win it.
Who do you have, Trey?
Unfortunately, I got Anthony Davis. Sorry, guys.
But it just feels like all the great defenders eventually get a defensive player of the year. And when you look at the landscape of great defenders in the NBA right now, Rudy Gobert's got his awards. Draymond has awards. Kawhi has awards. Giannis got his last year. Yep. Anthony Davis is probably the guy left on that list who has yet to be honored as defensive player of the year, which is why I kind of think Bam is probably behind him in the pecking order. Just because, you want to honor the older guys first. That's how it typically goes. So give me Anthony Davis. Can't wait to see the presentation.
Yeah, I think I'm going AD as well. What about Joel Embiid? I mean, he's interesting because he's with Simmons as of now. I mean, they're still, of course, on the same team. If they have an elite defense, which we thought they were going to have last year, and they were good, they were not great. They disappointed on that end of the floor. But if Embiid is out, I mean, he is a monster. Right? He gets overlooked, I think, even still when we talk defensively, because we talk about Gobert and Bam and Giannis and AD. I get it. Embiid's in that bunch, in my opinion. So maybe they have a top three defense. They obviously win a ton of games. Maybe they're the best team in the East. He'll have a chance. Though then, yeah, it's like, is he splitting votes somehow with Ben Simmons? Does that come into play? Potentially. There's really no one else I can think of. Draymond Green's interesting, though. He is. Like, if Draymond Green just took last year off. Like, he just basically was like him in school, like, going overseas. You know, he just went to Europe for a semester. He was just chilling. He was enjoying himself. He didn't really care all that much because, well, his team was, you know, ravaged by injuries. But, if the Warriors surprise a lot of people and Steph Curry offensively has them playing, you know, top four basketball in the West, you would have to pair that with good defense. And there are not a lot of great defenders now that Klay's gone out there. So Draymond would get a huge bulk of respect or admiration if he can get them playing, you know, above average defense. So I think Draymond, I think it's far-fetched. Because even, like, who knows what type of player he is at this point in his career and the impact that he can have. But I see the narrative, I'll put it that way, that if they were to surprise people, that his name would be back up in the mix. Because it was like right there with Gobert and stuff like that. Kawhi, year after year after year. So, again, if they get back to that level, he'll be included. What do you think?
He looks like he's in great shape.
Yeah, he does.
So you have to imagine he'll be flying around out there.
He does. All right, let's hear from you guys with both those awards. Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year. Who do you have? Who'd we miss?
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Few more questions. We're almost done here. Let's just go right to the end, all right? We haven't even started one game of this season, but we want to get our 2021 NBA Finals predictions. Now, I want the two teams. I want the winner. And hit me with a Finals MVP, Tass.
What a blast this question is. How does anyone not pick the Lakers right now? Everybody's doing it. It's hard to really see the light at the end of the tunnel for anybody going up against LeBron and AD, but I'm not picking them. just because everybody... Number one, everybody's picking them. Number two... I think they got to work out some problems, which they'll probably work out. But I don't see them being the number one seed. You know, the 16 Cavs that won, they were a 10th seed or the 10th ranked defensive team. Then they were the 21st the year after. I think LeBron and AD are going to chill a bit. Plus, with Avery Bradley gone, with Danny Green gone, you're probably starting Dennis Schroeder in the backcourt. Their defense is going to take a bit of a drop off. Is LeBron going to get friggin' old ever? Is he going to drop off 1%? Maybe 2%? I don't know. I think if he does drop off a little bit, because he is going to be 36 in a couple weeks, you know, maybe they drop off a little bit when they get to the postseason. Do they have the same chemistry as they did last year? Because last year was perfect with Rajon Rondo and Dwight Howard. You do sub in Dennis Schroeder. And Montrezl Harrell for those guys. Is it going to be as a cohesive bunch? You know, they're going to get to the conference finals. I do see them against probably the Clippers. I'm going to take the Clippers to get to the finals and to win over the Bucks. Now, they got to find their chemistry, no doubt. Yeah. But that's something they're working
about the
on.
If you're Lakers chemistry, then you definitely want to worry about the Clippers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, it's something, it's really an intangible that we're talking about here to me, because the Clippers have S-load of talent. You know, they got boatloads of it. They're only 3.5 games back of the Lakers last year with guys being injured. So I think they do come up and take that number one seed. Now, is being playing at home against the Lakers in July in the Western Conference Finals an advantage? I don't know. It's kind of weird in the Staples Center there. But I think they will have home court advantage, and it's going to be a battle. You know, not to discount the Nuggets and all of them down there, but I do see those two as the most talented teams. And them knocking off the Eastern Conference team. But it's hard to pick against the Lakers. It's just,
It's just there are some questions there with, you know, a bit of the chemistry. Is Schroeder going to work? Is Montrez going to work? Does it matter in the end? Are they going to have that same defensive cohesive unit that they did? Because those guys that left mattered. They subbed in some great guys in Wesley Matthews and Marc Gasol. But, you know, repeating is hard. And so the Clippers are going to be super duper 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 hungry. That might not be enough, though, against that Lakers team.
So you got Clippers versus who?
Lakers. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mention. Are they going to play in the finals? Can the Lakers and the Clippers play in the finals?
I was like, what do you know that I don't know?
Yeah. This is a weird year, man. Things can change. I'd probably take the Bucks, but who the F knows? That's even more confusing in the Eastern Conference. I think the Bucks have a decent matchup if it is against the Brooklyn Nets, who I'm seeing for Kyrie Irving with Drew Holiday. No one can stop Kevin Durant, but I think they're a good defensive bunch. They can manage that. So I would take the Bucks to lose to the Western Conference team.
And I'm assuming you would go Kawhi for
You're not taking Paul George. I'm not freaking drinking crazy juice.
No. All right. So you would have Kawhi winning his third finals MVP with three different teams. That'd be pretty amazing. Okay. So Clippers over the Bucks, says Tass. What do you have, Trey?
Well, I got a guy who already has three finals MVPs with three different teams. I'll take the Lakers. I got LeBron winning another finals MVP over the Nets. I still think the Lakers are in a class by themselves. When it comes down to it, there have been changes to the role players, and maybe Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell do bring a different chemistry than Danny Green and Rajon Rondo do, two guys who have long-term championship experience. You know, that is certainly going to matter. But the thing that's really going to matter is that the Lakers still have two matchup-proof players who can absolutely dominate inside. Dunking still the best shot in basketball, and I think LeBron sees the path right now. He's in his prime still somehow, even if it's the extended part of his prime. He's on the best team in the league with a co-star. You don't see that always with LeBron. He hasn't always been on the best team in the league, but he is right now. They're both signed long-term. LeBron sees the path to catching Michael Jordan, I think. Both from a titles perspective, from a finals MVP perspective. It's on the table right now. That's all I'll say. Who knows if he actually gets there. And, you know, I think seizing that opportunity is going to be huge this season. I just I don't see the Lakers letting one slip away. They were so into the entire season last year that even if they take a little bit of a break at the beginning of this year, if they start ramping things up in February or March, they'll be right in place come June and July.
All right, Lee, where are you going?
I tried really hard to make a serious contender out of the West other than the Lakers, and I couldn't come up with one. You know, you guys know I love the Nuggets, but they're just not in the same class as the Lakers right now. So it's definitely the Lakers. So it's in the Eastern Conference where I'm looking, and the Nets would be great to see in the finals. I think the Heat could sort of, again, once they get to the playoffs, the Heat are a different team altogether. The Celtics are a very good team as well, but I'm going with the boring pick of the Bucks. I want to see it. I want to see Giannis in the finals. I want to see him get over these obstacles that he's faced in the last couple of years where he's facing some questions, even though he's the two-time MVP. I want to see him in the finals and see how he performs against the Lakers, because even though Giannis has been slowed down in the playoffs, he's a matchup nightmare as well. And maybe those two things, a little bit like the Michael Jordan when he had to come over overcome the Pistons, maybe he just has figured it out and he just understands how he can be a better player. I think the Bucks with Drew are a better team. Some big questions about their coaching with Mike Budenholzer. But I just really hope we see a Lakers-Bucks final. But even if we do, it's just LeBron. Like every time you look at LeBron and just think, yeah, okay, finally, he's going to slow down. He loses a game here. He dropped that first game to the Rockets. They lost a game, nearly lost two games to the Nuggets, but even then it didn't really feel like the Lakers were ever not in control. And the same thing in the finals. Even though the Heat played really well, they won game three when it was only Jimmy Butler out there for the Heat. You just thought, there's no way LeBron's going to lose four games here. So, boring pick, Lakers, yeah. LeBron. But it's really hard to make a strong case for anyone else in the Western Conference, especially right now.
Yeah, it's true. Last time we had a shortened season too. LeBron won a title, right, with the Heat. So we got another one of those. Not as shortened, of course, but only 72 games.
Last year shortened as well. Won that title.
Yeah, you're right. And so eventually what? He's going to catch Jordan. He's going to have six titles. But then the MJ fans will say, yeah, but you won three of them in shortened season.
Three of them were half seasons.
It doesn't even count. So there, you're right. I have the Lakers ultimately winning it again. You're right, Lee. It sucks. It's boring. I just can't really talk myself. To me, it's going to be Lakers or Clippers. As much as I love the Nuggets and even the Blazers, I think are going to surprise some people. It's got to be an LA team. Oh, Lakers. versus the 76ers in the NBA Finals. I think Doc's going to, you know, along with Morey, of course, and the tinkering he, I'm sure, will do throughout the season, making still some moves and trying to get more shooting around their two studs. I'll get the Sixers going to the finals to take on LA. That's a throwback. Lee, was it 83 or something like that? I have no idea.
83?
Yeah, maybe. I guess the Sixers won that one, though, didn't they?
Yeah,
but I got
right.
the Lakers. Yeah. Lakers in six. Give me LeBron for, of course, another finals MVP. It's boring. I apologize. Maybe you've got a more exciting NBA finals prediction. Let us know in the stream team. Let us know on Twitter. Okay, final question. We're going to end even sillier. What's your dumbest, bold prediction? Trey, what do you got?
I know I just picked the Lakers to win the title.
Yep.
But James Harden is going to be traded, and whichever team acquires him is going to win the championship.
Wow.
We don't know what team it is yet, but there's a few that are in the mix. So far, it's been the Nets and the Sixers. Though they say they're out, supposedly. Daryl Morey saying, hey, check my Instagram stories. I love Ben Simmons. Who else is in the mix? The Bucks, allegedly. Doesn't really make a whole bunch of sense. And the Heat. Those are four teams that are already in the mix for a title. Yep. If you add a guy who's an MVP in his prime, I don't care if he's bulked up a little bit. He's still going to be able to put 30, 35 a game on you. Whichever team can actually swing a James Harden trade, you're winning a title this year. The guy is nails in the playoffs.
Okay. So what if he stays with the Rockets? Do the Rockets win a title or no? He has to be traded.
Season's getting canceled. Oh, season's okay. getting canceled okay. if he stays with the Rockets. No title.
Yeah, I mean, the thing,
a trade must happen.
Okay. The one team that intrigues me a little bit is the Miami Heat, because it's Pat Riley and because it's a star and they get things done. But I just wonder how, with that contract, how they make it work, because they just re-signed Dragic and I don't believe they can trade him straight away. Iguodala's got that option. I mean, they can find those pieces to make it happen. So,
did you stop using the trade machine, John Bob?
Yeah. I haven't gone into the trade machine, but I just sort of feel like I just think there's no way he goes to Milwaukee. I think that's completely out of the realm of possibility. And I think Philadelphia is the most likely, but I can sort of just see Pat Riley coming along and just somehow finagling it and saying, "All right, we'll take him," because if he goes to Miami and he sort of buys in and follows like the way that the Heat play, the Heat culture, then the Heat, they're favorite in the East probably if that happens.
All right, yeah, Trey's, I mean, you make a good point when you go through all the teams that he's linked to, Trey. I mean, all of these Eastern Conference teams, right, that he would be potentially being added to. I mean, the Nets, the Sixers, the Heat, the Bucks, yeah. If James Harden's on that team, if they're not giving up, even if they are maybe, but if they're not giving up one of their star guys, my God, all four of those teams could be would automatically be title contenders. Most of them are already. So yeah, Harden in the mix, sure. I like that. It's a bold prediction. Maybe he gets traded to the Lakers and you're double right.
Yeah, who would they trade? What even contract would make sense? Anthony Davis? Hey, man, thanks for signing. You're out of here, buddy.
Well, the Rockets reportedly want like a young star player. Just convince them it's Kyle Kuzma and you're set to go. Or maybe
Kuzma, Talen Horton Tucker, yeah. And Alex Caruso. You got the next big three right there.
There you go. You got Christian Wood balling out in preseason. He looked great. 27 and 10.
Schroeder, Caldwell Pope, and Montrezl Harrell's contract would probably get done, but again,
Well, no,
this is not Trade Machine. This is just Basketball Reference cap sheets. But I just, yeah, again, I know that when you just sign, you're not allowed to be traded. Yeah. I don't think for at least 3 months, something like that. So, anyway,
okay, happened at the deadline. They just set the deadline, March 25th, right? I think that's the report. Okay, so that's a nice prediction. If Harden gets traded, that team is winning the title instantly. That's a good one. Tass, what
do you got? Don't go to basketball sheets for the Miami Heat, because there's just no trade that can happen, unfortunately. And it would be the weirdest thing to watch a team like the Miami Heat, everybody moving. Oh, baby, it's like a freaking carousel at a fair. Everybody's moving around. Now it's James Harden just dribbling. It just doesn't make sense. He's got to expand his list of teams if he's going to get moved. But I like the pick. I'm excited to see Harden on another team, how that works anyway.
What do you have, Tass?
My pick for something crazy.
Yeah.
With the Dallas Mavericks, they've got Luka Doncic, who can carry an offense on his back. But if Kristaps Porzingis is injured, or if they're struggling a little bit to find some offense, Dirk Nowitzki comes out of retirement and he says, I can't watch this young buck do this on his own. I'm going to hobble up and down the floor.
Wow.
He rides into the arena on a horse. He hobbles off. He walks up to that basketball floor. He has somebody help him take off his sweats, because there's no way he can bend down and do it himself.
Maybe the horse helps him. Rips it up. Teeth.
Does he do it with his mouth? Like, yeah, rip off his mouth?
I would. I picture Dirk riding in on the horse in his warm-ups, plopping off, and then the horse like rips on his tearaways and rips him off. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, I actually fed a horse this past week. And I thought those big chompers were going to chomp my hand off, but they're gentle.
Yeah, they're pretty delicate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're smart-ass animals.
Yeah, they know. This human bone is not something I want to eat. So, yeah, I think he can... Dirk doesn't have to worry about any of his parts.
I heard that Gordon Hayward broke his finger by trying to feed a horse. So that's what I heard.
Well, what's funny is that LaMelo Ball owns a racehorse named LaMelo.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe he was trying to feed LaMelo. Anyway, Dirk comes and helps out Luka. They win some games.
Yeah, that's a bold prediction.
That's a crazy one. That won't happen.
What do you have, Lele? Can you one-up that?
Yeah, I sort of alluded to it in one of our earlier preview shows. Andrew Wiggins will lead the Warriors in scoring.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, Wiggins Island, baby.
I can just see this is a sort of situation where all you have to do is score, man. Dude, don't do anything else. And the Warriors will facilitate that for you. So, you know, Steph is obviously going to lead them in scoring, but I'm just going to say I think Wiggins averages 27 a game, Steph 25, and it's like we're all on board again. Wiggins is back. Wiggins is back. That's all he does: scores and shoots and tips in and gets alley oops and dunks and does it all. But he does it enough to lead the Warriors in scoring. Let's do it. Let's get crazy.
If Wiggins led the Warriors in scoring, you said average 27, would Wiggins be in the running for most improved player? Could he win an MIP? I would think so, right? If he did that.
He'd have to be. All-star as well. Imagine the buzz about Andrew Wiggins all-star. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, I can't believe you're doubling and tripling down on this one. I love that you're on Wiggins Island, though, man. I love it.
I don't know. It must be the biceps. It got me. It must be.
This man is a sucker for a sculptured shoulder.
It is. It's just like, oh, okay, yeah, right. Oh, you've got me now, Andy. Go out there and do it, baby.
He loves a sculptured shoulder, but you've never been a Rondo fan. That's what I've never been able to figure out.
Because they're disproportionate.
Oh, come on.
It's like Eric Bledsoe. Eric Bledsoe's got those just gigantic, almost like Photoshopped shoulders on his body, but he hasn't really done the rest of the upper body workout through the pectorals.
Okay.
And the traps.
All right. My bold prediction, I'm just going to stick with some wedgie talk. We haven't talked wedgies in so long. Oh. Yeah. We're short 10 games this year. It won't matter. We're hitting 50.
Oh.
We are hitting 50. Something's going to be going on, you know, in all these arenas with no fans. And the sight lines are going to be strange. I think the shooting is going to be a little off. These guys are rusty. A lot of these teams haven't even played in whatever, 8-9 months, whatever the heck it is. We're going to start hot. I'm predicting that. We're going to start very hot with the wedgie count. We're going to get out to a huge start, and then it's going to get like a little dicey as we get into the playoffs. But 50, lock it in. We're hitting it for the second time only, right? We've only done it once.
Just once.
What did we end up getting close to? We got close last year, right, in the end. Was it 46?
I don't think we got close.
I thought it was only 43. I thought it was a little, because we had a couple. 46. We had like three in like 2 days or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe it was 44 then. I could have sworn it was over 43. Mm. But anyway, we're getting to 50 this year. That's my bold, dumb prediction, because we're the only one that cares about wedgies. We still care. Damn, it's still real to me. All right. That's it. That's the burning questions. Always fun, these season preview podcasts. If this is the first one you're listening to, man, go back, listen to part 1, 2, 3, and 4. Drop them earlier this week. Just subscribe to No Dunks wherever you listen to your podcast. I actually have one more question, because I threw it up on Twitter, guys, right before we did this show. It's a random question. I'm not really putting you on the spot. Who's a guy, a current player, of course, that you just sort of like totally forgot about, and maybe his name has popped up in a preseason game or you saw a highlight or something? Like, for me, it was Gorgui Jang. I was like, oh god. Wow, I forgot about him. He plays. He's on team. I mean,
where? The Grizzlies? Is he on the Grizzlies?
That's right. I know. It's a team you would maybe had forgotten he was even on. Who do you have a guy that you're just like Eric Gordon, I'll have to admit too, was sort of like, I was like, Eric Gordon? Oh yeah, he signed a massive extension. He's there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know you're a fan, so maybe you hadn't forgot about him.
No, people forgot about him. I think I picked him in like 120th in my fantasy league.
Oh, nobody was picking him. Nice little steal there, deep in your fantasy league. Is there another guy that you're just like, wow, oh yeah, him?
We've all been spending our time talking about Bogdan Bogdanovich, but what about Boyan Bogdanovich?
That's a good one.
There's two of them out there. He was actually a vital piece of the Jazz last year. Didn't play in the bubble. Could have used him. Might not have blown a 3-1 lead.
Good pick. Tass, Lee.
Had a nice highlight yesterday as well. Above the head, little toss-up. That guy is a shooter. Tony Snell. Yeah, I smell that.
Oh. He's Atlanta, isn't he? Is he at the Hawks?
He's an Atlanta three-point shooter. He's averaged about 40% the last 4 years. Will he do it on the Hawks? No, doubt it. There's just too many guys in the Hawks.
A little sniff into the mic for a little Tony Smell. All right. What do you have, Lily?
Well, Bruno is still in the league, believe it or not. Bruno has bounced around. He's traveled around. He was 2 years away from 2 years away 10 years ago. He's on the Rockets roster. I don't know if it's, I think it's probably just a non-guaranteed, but he's just hanging on. He's hanging on for dear life, Bruno. So, good luck to him.
Okay. Just threw that one in there. A little bonus.
He had a big
question.
Night one night. I don't know what night it was, but he had a big night in the preseason.
We're getting some great answers in the stream team.
Yeah,
of course,
sure.
Playing. What about this guy? Reggie Bullock, says Clarence. Not bad.
Good
Jake
one.
Says Langston Galloway. Langston Galloway, what team's he on?
Oh,
Pelicans.
He's a Pelican. He was what team last year?
Pistons?
There you go. Yeah. Diego says Norwell. He just says Norwell.
What?
Who's that?
Norm.
Norwell. Darius Miller. Thon Maker. Is he back, baby?
Yeah, Thon's in Cleveland.
Bismack Biyombo, of course, is getting some mentions here. Justin Anderson, a starter's favorite from back in the day. Frank the Tank, I think that's a Frank Kaminsky shout out. Does he have a team yet? I can't believe the Suns gave up on him.
Oh yeah,
he's Sacramento. I think he went to Sacramento.
Yeah, they got Whiteside, Kaminsky. Yes. They got a hilarious big roster. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
good stuff. All in on Norwell. Who is Norwell?
Can't wait to see what Norwell does
mean,
this season.
Is
there a Zach Norwell?
Maybe
Norvell. Zach Norvell
Jr. Norvell is
he's a bull.
The first Norville. All right, let's call it there. Go get your No Dunks merchandise. NoDunk.com, baby. We got some new No Dunks items dropping very, very soon, so keep your eyes on that. Get your questions in. You still got a little bit of time. You basically got the weekend here. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Your cues and your comments for our first beach step-in of the new season. That's coming up on Monday. We got a special guest already locked in for Tuesday's podcast. I'm going to leave it at that. Very excited for that guest on Tuesday. Because here's the plan. We will be podcasting all next week, right up until Christmas Day. We'll take off the 25th, but Tass said it. We'll be back on the 26th on Saturday to recap the Christmas Day games. Hopefully they're entertaining enough that we can talk about them. And then, of course, the next week, you know, pretty regular doing the daily shows as we break down the big games and storylines and stuff like that and have some fun. We'll probably take off the first as well. But we're going to have a lot of No Dunks content you're coming your way over the next 2 weeks, which is different than we usually do it, right? Like, let's be honest, we take off usually at Christmas for a week or two usually. Not this year. No Dunks daily, baby. I was going to say we'll be back tomorrow with more burning questions, but nope, I kept that in from yesterday's document. So we won't be back tomorrow. We'll take in the weekend off. We'll be back with the Beach Steppin' Podcast.
Au contraire, mon frère! We will be back tomorrow with a great guest. A great
guest. Yes. Totally slipped
indeed
my mind. I
cooking
left
up
that,
something
I,
nice here.
I left that one in the oven, Trey. My bad. I burned that one. So we will have a special guest on Saturday. That should be just a fun little bonus podcast. So yeah, just subscribe to No Dunks and leave your 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts if that is where you download and listen to us. Helps in terms of rankings. Okay. Good job, guys, on the season preview podcast. Always fun. We'll see you on Saturday with a special bonus podcast and then on Monday with Beach Steppin'. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Chef Curry, as well as former New York Knick Ron Baker, both will love Saturday's podcast. Make sure you check it out.
Embrace the weekend, people.